Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In this weekend's gospel, we have the classic story of Jesus walking on water. And yet, the key figure of the story is not Jesus, but instead it's Peter. Now, the beauty of this scripture passage is that it picks up exactly where it left off last week. Remember last week, Jesus fed the 5,000 people in the Eremos, the wilderness. And now, after feeding these people, he now sends them out. And now he's going to travel to a new place with his apostles. That's why it says at the very beginning of the passage today, after he had fed the people, he told the apostles to get into the boat and precede him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And so Jesus has now fed the people. He dismisses them and he tells the apostles that he will meet with them at a later time. What's important is what happened next. It says, after doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself and he prayed. Now this is typical for Jesus. This is a typical day in the life for Christ. Jesus, each and every day of his life, prayed. He made time to pray. Prayer was vital for him, and it should be for us. If Jesus thought prayer was important enough to do, so should we. It's indispensable in the spiritual life. There's no way a person can say, you know, I pray maybe once or twice a week, and I've got a great relationship with the Lord. You're only kidding yourself. It's just like a married couple. You know, the spouses say, you know, I speak to my spouse maybe once or twice a week, but we've got a great marriage. It's very strong. No way. That marriage is doomed for failure. Married couples, more than anyone, know how important and vital communication is in their relationship. Married couples are communicating every day, several times a day, about all different things. It's the way that their relationship grows, stabilizes, and remains constant. So too with us. We must find that deserted place ourselves, just like Jesus did every day, and pray. And we can. We can be creative. For example, on that commute to work in the morning, you're driving to work alone in the car, turn off the radio, turn off the CD player, and now pray. That is your deserted place where you can now be alone with God. Or maybe you have to run some errands throughout the day. You're all alone again in the car. Turn off the radio, turn off your phone, and now you are in a deserted place with God. Pray. Pray to Him. Or maybe you pass a parish or a Catholic church. Well, go inside and pray. Even if it's just for 1 minute, pray. That's your moment with the Lord. Or maybe an early riser. Well, get up early when the whole household is still asleep. That is your moment to be with the Lord. Again, if Jesus thought prayer was important enough for him to do every day, it should be for us. Now, getting back to the story, the apostles are in the boat, and the boat is being tossed about by the waves. Now, realize, storms in the ancient world at sea were very dangerous. In fact, they were also very unpredictable. In our day and age, we have the luxury of radar. We can look upon a radar screen, and we can see storms coming in for miles away. And then we can prepare for them. In the ancient world, they didn't have that luxury. When you were at sea, storms could easily kick up, and they were very dangerous. That's why ships typically navigated parallel to the shoreline, They never strayed off into the vast ocean, not just for navigation purposes, but when these storms kicked up, the ships would be able to easily and quickly go into a port in order to save their ship. Now take it to a spiritual level. The symbolism here is great. The boat represents the church, because the apostles are in it. The storm represents chaos that has tossed our church about throughout the centuries. I'll give you some examples. The first 3 centuries of our church was plagued with persecutions. All of the apostles, except for John, were murdered. And so our church suffered through that. A few centuries later, the chaos was the Great Western Schism, in which our church was cut in half, the Eastern Church and the Western Church. A few centuries later, we had the Reformation. Right now, our church is being tossed about by a storm. This storm is the priest abuse scandal. And so, our church, for centuries on end, has been tossed about by storms. Now, getting back to the story, it said Jesus approached them at the fourth watch. The fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. It's the darkest part of the night, and it's where the storm is the absolute worst. And yet Jesus comes to rescue them. Now, it says at first the apostles were terrified by Jesus. They thought he was a ghost. But afterwards, as he came closer to them, Peter recognized that it was Christ, and he was no longer afraid. That's why he yells out to Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out and walk on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Now, Peter summons the courage to get out of the boat in the midst of a terrible storm, and now he begins to walk on the water. But he does so only because Christ commanded him. Here is another great spiritual lesson for us all. With Christ in our life and with his strength, we can overcome all the chaos in our life. And we do have chaos. The chaos comes in many different forms, whether it's depression, anxiety, or poor health, whether it's an unexpected diagnosis, or maybe an unexpected death in the family. Maybe it's the stress at work or the threat of unemployment. Whatever it is, we all face chaos and challenges in our life. No one is immune from them. And yet, with the strength of Christ, we won't be defeated by these storms or this chaos. Now notice Peter as he's walking towards Christ. The key is that he's fixated on Christ. His attention span is only on Christ and Christ alone. Nothing distracts him. Nothing comes between Peter and Jesus Christ. That's why he's able to walk on the water. So too must we. Our attention must be directed on Christ, such that nothing should stand between us and Christ. When that happens, then we too can walk over any challenge or any chaos that comes into our life. I'll give you a great example of this. Just a few years ago, I had the privilege of ministering to a young woman who had MS. Her MS was so severe that her arms and legs were contracted to the point where she could no longer move them. She did not allow that chaos, the chaos of her illness, to defeat her. Every time I visited her, she was filled with joy, joy of the Holy Spirit. She constantly spoke about the presence of God in her life and how that gave her strength. She, like Peter, was focused, riveted on Jesus Christ. Nothing got between her and Christ. And because of that, she had the power. She had the power of Jesus Christ to figuratively walk over the chaos of her illness. Well, so too must we. If we trust, if we are riveted on Jesus Christ, our attention is always on him, then he will give us the power to walk over any chaos or struggle or challenge that we may have in our life. But what can happen? Well, Peter now looks away. His attention now is gathered at the storm, the wind, the waves, the rain. What's the result? He begins to sink into the water. Another great spiritual lesson. When we encounter struggles or chaos in our life, the worst thing that we could do is turn away from Christ. See, when that happens, when we turn away from Christ, we will sink under the midst of that struggle or chaos, and it will get the best of us. And yet, what does Peter do? Something very important. It says he called out to Jesus and said, "Lord, help me." Now, it's interesting. Peter is probably closer to the apostles than he is to Jesus. It would be easy for him to turn to the apostles in the boat and say, "Help me." The apostles could have easily brought the boat around and picked him up. Or they could have easily thrown him a line and pulled him into the boat. But instead, he turned his attention back to Jesus Christ. See, here is redemption. If you want to see a portrait or a picture of God's redemption, it is right here on display. Peter has turned away from Jesus. He begins to sink in the midst of his chaos. And yet now, realizing what he's done, he turns his attention back to Christ, and he calls out to him. And Jesus now is going to grab him and save him. That is redemption. That's God's redemption. Peter goes and he turns his attention to Jesus because he knows Christ and only Christ is able to save him. So too must we. We must call out to Christ all the time for him to save us, especially in the midst of our struggles and challenges. We call out to Jesus in a daily prayer life, in an active sacramental life. We, like Peter, call out, "Lord, help us," and he will. It continues on in the story. It says, Jesus grabbed Peter. Again, there is redemption. Peter turned away from Christ, and now he turns back toward him, and Jesus saves him. That is the portrait of God's redemption for us all. Yes, there are times in which we look away from Christ, and in the midst of our struggles, we begin to sink in them. But then we turn our focus back to Jesus. We call out to him in need, and we ask for him to help us, to save us. And what does Jesus do? He immediately forgives us, and then he reaches out and he grabs us, and he saves us. That truly is God's redemption. Now notice what Jesus says to Peter, "O ye of little faith." Now if you look at the original Greek that the Bible was written in, the words that Jesus uses is not the words of admonishing or criticizing Peter. Instead, it's almost like Jesus is asking Peter a rhetorical question, somewhat like, "Peter, did you really think that I would allow anything to happen to you? Peter, did you really think that I would allow you to drown right in front of me?" Now, what we have to do is we have to allow those words to resonate deep within inside of us, because Christ is ready to grab and to save us. Strongly encourage you, take some time this week. Read and pray over this gospel story. Put yourself in the place of Peter. Keep your eyes riveted, fixated on Jesus Christ. Then you too will have the power of Christ to walk over the challenges, the struggles, and the chaos in your life. And if you find yourself sinking or drowning within them, call out to Christ, just like Peter did. And through God's redemption, he will grab you and save you. And may the peace and the mercy of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.